Song starts.
Blog Talk Radio.
Molly, life is good. Hello, this is Carl. Generally, I would say welcome to Carl's Cavern, but that's not what this is today. This is a celebration and a wake and a love fest for Antonia. Antonia Onofro, otherwise known as Forky, was a very good friend of mine on Facebook. And we have two people here that I want to introduce. One is Janelle Lee Reed. Janelle, a good friend of Sporky, so say hello, Janelle.
Hello.
And we have Robert Duran, who has been my co-host before when we did a show with Sporky. So say hello, Robert? Robert!
Did we lose you,
we
Robert?
We might have lost Robert. Well, hello,
I'm here.
Can you hear me? Oh,
can you hear me?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Where'd you go?
Well, I plugged my headphone in. I guess the mic isn't working on it. So great.
Well, okay. Okay, so that's Robert. And we all know and love Antonia very, very much. And today, this is our memorial to her. Antonia passed away on September 4th. And I'm going to give this to Janelle. Janelle, how did you know Sporky, and how did you all get together and all that?
Well, we're both from Reno. I don't live there any longer, but we were both living in Reno. I was pretty good friends with Tommy Bergino. And I think who was Antonia's ex, probably fiance, I'm not sure, but they were very close. Tommy was, he's a friend to everybody in the scene. So, and this is way back in, I think we probably met around 82. And I think it was at the Mentors played Reno. And that is the day that she and I met and just, you know, hit it off. And sadly, September 27th was her birthday, and she would have been 57, which is really sad. I was just devastated. I couldn't believe that she was gone.
Absolutely. You know, but one of the things she said was that she hit it off with you, and that was true, I think. That was one of her great points, was that she loved everyone. And she really brought that out. As for me, I met her, I got on Facebook in 2012. I've never met her in person. But she was like one of three people that I didn't know that I friended. And the first one is still a friend of mine. I call him the Portuguese madman. That's Paulo. Third one is my ex-podcast partner. But the second person I friended was Antonia. And we hit it off immediately. And it was, we were talking not too long ago when she first got into hospice, because she was in hospice for, I guess, around 6 months. But she got into hospice, and we were talking about how we met, and she reminded me that she said that we were twins, and I said, no, we're not twins, we're cousins. You're my cuz. And so that was always what we called each other, you know, was cuz.
Yeah.
You know, just a wonderful human being. And we'll get more into that. Robert, how did you meet
Anthony? I met her on your show.
So we did a show.
Yeah, we did a show.
What was that, about 3 months ago?
Yeah, something like that. And she was a guest on your show, as I was as well. And when I heard her talking, and I got to get to know her, so I immediately sent her a friend request, and we had chatted a few times on Facebook. And she's this warm, beautiful, wonderful person that you just want to know her when you meet her, when you hear her and talk to her a little bit. And I just was immediately just blown away by how awesome she is and all the things that she's done. And I talked to her a few times before she died, and she just blew me away with the peace that she had through it all, and how she made her peace there at the end. It was pretty obvious. She put out a couple of posts on her Facebook page relating to that. And
That's, we'll get more into that because I had a long conversation with her.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get more into that, but that's very true. Okay. But she always tried to see the good in people, and I think that's a marvelous attribute to have. And it was one of the things that drew us together. Now, Janelle, you knew her in 82, so you knew her when she was playing in bands and things like that. Tell us a little bit about the punk scene in Reno and what that was like.
Well, the scene in Reno, her first band was Looney Bin, and she opened up for 7 Seconds. And, of course, 7 Seconds, big Reno band, and I lost my track of thought. So what was the question? God.
Well, tell us about the scene, about the how, you know, that she played in certain bands and things like that. And what was the punk scene like in Reno?
I never saw her play, ever. Somehow, Looney Bin broke up in the interim there. Like I said, I met her at a mentor's, and you know, 7 Seconds is the one that really made the scene in Reno. 7 Seconds, DOA would come and play, the Rex, Minor Threat played in my backyard, Hurst to Do, saw them play in a basement, you know. It was the beginning of the scene. But I think I got into it in 82, and I didn't meet Antonia until maybe 83. So, unfortunately, I'd never seen her play before. But as listening to her on your last podcast with her, didn't she just have the most feminine voice? I mean, wasn't she the best radio female DJ or whatever you're called?
Okay, so that's one thing, you know. I was able to listen to some of her shows, and because of course you could get them on the internet now, and they had them archived. Tell us a little bit of. Do you know much about her radio work and what she did as far as in Reno?
Well, I'm so sorry, I really don't. I happened to go on the internet in 2009, a little bit of a late bloomer, I guess, and I found her radio show, and I called in, and I don't know if you were there or not, but that was 2009.
No, I wasn't. I didn't get on the net until 2012, so.
It's too bad Jess Beebe was going to call in tonight, and she lived with Antonia, like within the last year or so, when all that craziness happened at Antonia's old house. And I was really hoping Jess would get on here, because the last time I talked to Antonia, it was a couple months ago. And we even thought about doing a piece where talking about death, talking about how you become at peace with it because it's inevitable. And
right.
I told her I wanted to record her to make like a little documentary of it, because the way she was going about it, it's like she was taking everybody on with her on this journey. But then I just thought it was a bit too morbid, and I didn't do it. It's one of my regrets in life that I tuned out and chose not to do that. But
well, you know, it's tough. I mean, one of the things is I'm a church organist, and I've been involved in church most of my life, and you know, funerals are for the living, they're not for the dead. And grief is a very, very difficult thing, particularly, you know, when she made the post that she put herself in hospice. I remember I saw that. And said, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's my attitude. You know, I mean, what? And I called her that day. We had a long conversation. And, you know, I mean, she played her life hard, you know, at both ends. She was burning the candle at both ends. And you know, that means drugs and alcohol and things like that. And, of course, if you abuse your body, you know, you're going to pay a price sooner or later, as we all do. You know, I mean, it's inevitable, as she said. But, you know, the one thing I really noticed is she was at peace.
She truly was at peace, yes.
Very much
yeah.
so.
You know, Robert, in your conversations, what did you talk to her about?
Well, what blew me away is how she started posting about what she was going through. And I had never, ever had seen, you know, like somebody who was dying actually posting in real time what's happening to them. And that just, that I mean, I started just crying, just like, I couldn't believe it, you know. And then I had to reach out and contact her and see how she's doing. And, you know, she said she's doing okay and that she's getting through it. But, I mean, it's all in her post. And I it just made me respect her even more. And hope that I find that peace as well. Me wanting to try to find that peace within my own life, but you know, before I die, you know.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, it just inspired me to no end. That I always think about that, you know, when I think of her. It's how honest she was and open she was about what she was going through, because most people don't. Most people want to be very private about these things. But I thought it was courageous on her part and just brave, and it blew me away. It's just still does. It's so powerful.
Absolutely. And for anyone who's listening, go through her post on Facebook and really take a look at how this all transpired, because it's there. I mean, you know, you hear the words, you know, my life is an open book, and usually that's a bunch of bullshit. But in this case, it's not, because she
exactly,
you know, and even if you go before she was in hospice, you take a look earlier, you see many of the joys and regrets right there on the page. And for someone to be that honest about themselves, I don't think I've ever met anyone that honest other than her.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And that's sad, too, because I think it was probably around 84. She had a brand new, it was probably 1980, so it's like 4 years old, RX-7. And we took a girls' trip to San Francisco to see Anthrax. And Kiss happened to be there. So we were both sober. We chose to go to San Francisco and be totally sober, stay in a hotel together and all that good stuff. And we had the best time. And then when she kind of relapsed, which is very normal, she did burn the candle at both ends. And I think that led to her, you know, downfall. I think that's really played havoc on her kidneys, because that's what she ultimately died of, was renal failure.
Right. No, and
but we did have some good times in that RX-7.
Well, yeah. You know, and that's the thing, okay? As I said, funerals and this podcast is for the living. It's not for Antonio in particular. But, you know, she's dead, but she never dies. And you know why she never dies? Because not only the memories will live in our memories and in our hearts, But also, there's a part of her there. Because if you have any true relationship with anyone, they give of themselves and you give of yourself. So it's just an exchange. So there's always going to be a part of my cuz in my heart. There's no fucking way that's ever going to leave. For everyone listening, think about that. Because if you loved Antonia like we did, then she's never going to die.
Yeah.
Because she's there with you. And I truly believe that with all my heart. And it's the same way.
I still have remnits around the house of
oh,
her.
Yeah.
Like,
and there are those things, too. People will take certain jewelry or things, and that's a way to remember. And certainly, I don't disagree with that at all. But to me, it's more of a soul thing that you know, the love is that she gave me is there. So I'm going to try to reflect what she gave me to other people. And I think of that, you know, in a spiritual way anyway, because, you know, that's my background. I've got a master's in church music. I've got minors in theology and philosophy. So, you know, that's the way I look at it. But however you want to remember her is valid, and please do, because she deserves not to be forgotten, at least from the people that met her and loved her.
Hey, you said you heard some of her radio shows. Where can you hear them?
Well,
I was in Florida at the time.
Yeah.
So
but
it must have been Skank Radio?
Yeah, Skank Radio.
Are they archived?
Okay, so Robert, go back to our podcast. She gives you the URL on that.
Oh, okay. I probably wasn't listening. Oh, well.
You know, but it is like, you know, if you check her post too, and go back a ways, you'll see links to it.
Okay, I'll look for that. Okay. Definitely want to hear those.
Yeah, and boy, does she have a voice.
A way to keep her alive is to listen to her voice, you know. Then
she's right there
in the room with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
and she did
Sorry?
Go ahead, Janelle.
I was wondering how long she did radio for, just for people that don't know.
Jeez.
It went back to at least 2004. 2005, I think.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing it
before
Al
long. Quinn on her station as well. Do you know Al Quinn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't know him, but yeah, I know who you mean.
Hmm. Okay. I thought he might call in. It might just be us three talking on here, nobody listening. Who knows?
Well, no, that's not true either. Doc, are you there?
Who? Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Can you give everyone the number, please?
Yes, the number is 657-383-0397. That's 657-383-0397.
Thanks, Doc.
Our wonderful announcer there.
You're welcome.
That's Eric, our producer, or you could call him Doc, either or. But now I think what we're going to do. So let me give a timeline first. So so Antonia, you know, posts that she's in hospice, but yet she's still going out, it seems, and she's still doing okay. And it was about 6 weeks ago, it was like mid to late August, she posts and she says something's wrong, and deal. At that point, I knew to give her a call. And so I gave her a call. We had a long conversation. The nurse had said, you know, said this was the beginning of the end. And, you know, we talked about a lot of things. We talked about, you know, that she had so many regrets and things like that. And one of the things I said to her was, you know, you have to make peace and forgive yourself. You know, you did the best you can, and you're going to a better place. I said, and that's, you know, that's the belief, and that's what you should aim for. But more than anything else, you have to forgive yourself. And the best way to do that, the funny thing is, with forgiveness, if you forgive somebody, you're leading somebody out of jail. But it's not the person you forgive, it's you.
Mm-hmm.
And so she has to forgive herself, put her out of that jail to be able to look at things and see the good around her and the good that she's done. And so I excuse me. I then after that thing I thought for a while and I sent her a song to listen to. And Doc, if you could pull up the Loudon Wainwright Out of This World. Let's listen to that.
All right, coming right up.
It's almost Pump it time
up.
Now.
It's there we go.
Almost over. Sooner than later, I'll be dead and gone out of this world. Out of this world. And I guess that I'll miss some of the good times, but it'll be fine for me to be moving on out of this world. Out of this world. Out of this world and into another, a kinder world, a world that's better. Out of this world. Out of my mind and out of my body. Nothing will hurt me. I'll be so happy out of this world. Out of this world. And you all will miss me. Then you'll forget me. But that won't upset me, 'cause nothing will get to me out of this world. Out of this world. Out of this world and into another, a kinder world, a world that's better. Out of this world. It's almost time now. It's almost over.
Yeah, that one, I'm surprised I'm not breaking up, to be honest. When I'm a big fan of Wainwright's, and when she told me what was going on, I immediately glommed onto that song, and I sent it to her. And it...
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Had you heard that before, Robert? Do you know that song?
I have not. It's a beautiful song.
Yeah. Yeah. It,
that's the first time I heard it, too. And I wonder if Martha Wainwright was backup on that.
That was. That was Martha. Absolutely, that was Martha.
That was it? Okay.
Yeah, and of course, he's the father of Rufus, too. So, I've been a Loudon Wainwright fan since the 70s. But anyway, you know, the thing about acceptance and that's, God damn, she accepted what was going on with her.
Yeah,
I don't
she
know.
Did.
Good Lord. I'm not sure I could do it because generally you hear something like that, you know, it's denial. It's what is it, the seven phases? Denial, acceptance.
Oh, sure.
You know, yeah,
what
all
is it,
that.
The five stages of...
grief.
Grief, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went into the first stage, which is denial, and I stayed there until I checked my news feed, my Facebook news feed, on September the 4th, and... Bessie Oakley of the Rex stated that Antonia had died the night before, and that's when my denial left, and I went into a real nosedive of grief.
No. Anger that it would happen, you know, particularly to someone as young as Antonia. You know, just, you know, and then like, what could I have done to, you know, and then you bring that all on yourself. It's something.
But knowing that she accepted it and made her peace just makes it beautiful then. It's sad that she's gone, but she's accepted that and she's definitely in a better place right now. And it's what she wanted, you know, she accepted it and let it take her. And I know it's sad that she's gone, but I think in a way we should be celebrating her life as well.
Well, that's a whole thing. This is a celebration. Okay. Certainly we're sad. One of the great things that, if you check her post, she had a post right before she passed away. And it was something akin to, I feel the universal love. I feel the universe loves me. You know, there's a science fiction television show called Babylon 5. And one of the lines in it is, we are all star stuff. We are all part of the universe, and when we die, we go back to the universe. You know, whatever the beliefs are, whether you're Christian, Jewish, Muslim, I don't care if you're atheist even, you know, there's always this question, what happens when we die? And I always think that when we die, we disperse and go to another place, you know, whatever that would be, and a couple of weeks ago, I actually did a show with Joe Badon on cinematic versions of heaven. And I was thinking of Antonia when we were doing that. But, you know, whatever the case, I know in my heart she's in a better place, and she looks down on us, and she loves us from wherever she is.
Hey, I have that post. You want me to read it?
Sorry. Sure. Go.
This is from August 5th. She wrote, "How do I describe the end of my life? I feel surreal. I am floating and numb. I just feel this peaceful state of being. I'm weak and floating. It feels good when I almost black out when I'm coughing. But I don't want sympathy. I don't have any self-pity. I don't cry. I don't wallow in my misery. I'm not sad. My mind is in a comfortable state of acceptance. My emotions are connected with my brain. I am accepting this process. The only thing I can't do right now is not display a fake show of enthusiasm. I don't feel it. I don't feel the desire to be cheerful, but I'm not morose. But I do. But I want you to know that I am sick, peaceful. I am hesitant to talk about it. I hope I'm describing this the best I can. I'm open to discussion and these questions." That just blew me away when I read that.
Holy shit. I haven't read that in a while.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Thank you for reading that. That was beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. It's that will always be in my head, and that's, you know, that should just make us like accept life as it is right now. Even though a lot of times we're not happy with where we're at, sometimes we should just I stop and think about that. Sometimes it's like, look, there's not much I can do about things going wrong in my life, but I can change the things I can right now in front of me. I can't change the world, but I can change a few things that are around me and love the people that are in my life.
Well, you know, one of the things I say is that it's the small pleasures. It's the small things you do. I mean, you're walking down the street and you smile at someone, and maybe that smile changes their day. Or you see someone crossing the road who's having a little trouble, and you help them across the road. Or whatever you do.
Yeah.
Say hello to a stranger. These things have impact. And it's the way that you look at life. And that was one of the things. There is no question the way that Antonio looked at life was with kindness. And that. Now, Janelle, we've talked a little bit about, you know, how you got to meet her back in Reno and that, but you were the person that knew her the longest. So please give us some more, you know, things that you did with her or thoughts or anything that you can.
Well, our favorite thing to do was gossip. And she always had the best gossip. She knew what was going on. She was a beautiful person, beautiful inside and out. I mean, she was very, very pretty. So,
oh, yeah.
I think that's, I don't know, we just hung out, we talked, we laughed, we tried to get sober together, I left in 87, and by the time I got to Michigan, she had sent me Nirvana Nevermind on cassette tape. And that's just the kind of friend she was. She would draw her own Christmas cards and send those off, and they were always beautiful. I mean, she was a very accomplished artist. I don't know if you've seen any of her drawings or anything.
No, I actually have not. If you have any of the things, can you post it on her picture? At least send me a message on that, a PM on that, and I'll post some
stuff.
Sure.
Well, her Facebook page if you go into her Facebook, and it's a drawing that she made because she was planning on starting a new band. So the drawing is of her with a bass guitar and then like four other people with question marks on who else would want to join this band. And she wanted it to be all female. But then shortly after that, she came down with the horrible news that she wasn't feeling too well and that they were going to put her in hospice, which I always thought hospice was something that you went into like a week or two before, not a month or two before. So I guess I'm a little, I was very rattled on that because when she said I'm going into hospice, I thought, oh my God, you know, she's got a couple weeks, but she still lasted a couple months, you know.
And she lasted about 3 months, I think. About 3 months.
Really isn't that long.
Because all we have to do is check the date of that podcast, because that was probably a week or two after she went into hospice, because she did that from hospice, which I couldn't believe. I mean, you know, you think about that and how lively she is, and she did all this work. You know, she had all her notes. If you listen to that podcast, she's rifling through papers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I had her on a second time. Okay, I had her on a second time, and she hated it. And like she swore, she made me swear never to release that podcast.
But you did, right?
No, I have not. I have to find that one.
No.
You know what? Antonia, if you're listening to me, screw you. I think you were good, so I'm gonna find it and put it up.
There we go. There we go. I think that's an excellent idea.
Good. Thank you, Janelle. You can blame Janelle for this, okay?
I'll take your blame.
Being a DJ myself, I realize a lot of times you don't like your own shows. A lot of times.
I do podcasts. I do so many podcasts that I listen to them again. It's like, oh Jesus, I'm fucking horrible. What was I thinking?
Yeah.
But, you know, you do the best you can.
Yeah. You do seven.
Yeah, I'm
podcasts?
Sure I'll be doing that when I listen to this one.
Well, you know, I mean, the idea here, and even if nobody else calls in for us, this is a way to celebrate her life.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, okay, so we don't drink anymore. I don't drink anymore. So, you know what? I'll go get hot chocolate and go out for a pastrami sandwich tomorrow or something. And I'll just say, hey, you know, thanks for everything, Antonia. Because you know what? That's the other thing. This is our thank you to her. Because you know what?
Yeah.
She changed her life.
Yep.
She changed her life.
She ended up getting clean, right? Like, was it? I'm
yeah.
not sure how long.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. She talking to me
the,
about going
the last year she was alive, she was clean.
You know, and one of the things she mentioned is how, you know, one of her great regrets was, you know, being on drugs and being an alcoholic and of course her son, and she felt horrible about that. And I don't know if her son will listen to this or not. I hope he does. But I can tell you this: she, you know, that was one of the things we really talked about was how she felt about that. And I said, you have to go to your son and talk before you fall asleep. Okay, and you have to forgive yourself for it. Now, because you know what? We all fuck up. I certainly have. I'm still trying to make things right with people. I may never be able to do it, but God damn it, I'm going to try. You know, and
yeah.
I'm not sure how old Redger is, but if you're listening, Redger, I hope that you can forgive her because she deserves it.
Well, you know, she might not deserve it from his point of view, but I can tell you this. There's no question that she loved you. No doubt. No
and
doubt.
And she was proud of him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very proud of him. That's a hard thing. Because we hurt people down the line. You know, and we may not mean to and that, but nonetheless you do, and you have. And none of us are perfect, but that's not an excuse. But you have to make an effort to make things right. You have to show the love back. And you have to forgive people and forgive yourself. And I think that's one of the things that she learned over the years. And that's one of the things that she and I, we were on the phone that particular night for what, about 90 minutes, I think.
Wow.
Go ahead, Robert.
That's one of the things she's taught us too, is, you know, to accept ourselves and like you said, forgive yourself. That's a big thing right there. It's like, you know, I kind of just recently stopped drinking over the last 6 months or so. Just got over it, just done. I still do, you know, my marijuana, but I stopped doing the partying, the whole partying scene and all that slowly. And my son's disapproval was always in the back of my head because he cared about me. He loved me. And that's part of what kept, you know, what brought me to here today, you know, just thinking of that. But also, yeah, realizing to forgive yourself and to make things right as well. Like you said.
So
she learned a lot from the 12-step program, and she practiced the 12-step program. And that pretty much saved her life.
Was she in AA? She was in AA, right?
NA.
Yes. And NA, and I mean, we're going back to the 80s. I think I went to my first AA meeting with Antonia. But I really had to go to Al-Anon is what helped me, not AA, because I wasn't. I might have messed around with stuff, but I never got into anything.
Yeah, I.
So yeah, she taught me a lot.
Yeah, a lot of us old punks got to review our lives and start making things better as we get older, because we just don't bounce back like we used to. That's for sure.
You know, if I can be, you don't have to answer this, Janelle, if you want, but. But I'm 62, so I think I'm the old one of the group.
No.
No?
Nope, I got you beat. No.
Oh, okay, well, we won't ask the correct, your actual age.
I don't care. I'm 68, so that's cool. I'm, you know, I'm 68 now, so I understand what it means to get older and slow down and, you know, that's just life. So
yeah.
I don't think that if you didn't intentionally want to hurt anybody back in the day, not a lot to be forgiven for, because everybody was young and dumb and having fun.
Yeah. That's true. Sure, I certainly was that way.
Yeah.
New York in the 80s, man. Good Lord. I'm surprised I'm still here. And growing up in the 70s, too. But at this point, I'm going to have us take a break, and we're going to play another song. And this is a song called Time and Tide. It's by Alan Price. It's actually from a movie called The Plague Dogs. And I also gave this to Antonia, and she was very surprised and liked this one, too. So, Doc, if you will, bring up Time and Tide by Alan Price.
Coming right up.
I don't feel no pain no more. I've left this cruel world behind, and I found my peace of mind. I don't feel no pain. I don't
So what did you guys think of that song? And I'll tell you what Sporky said to me.
Who was that?
That was Alan Price. Alan Price was the keyboard player for the Animals. And he went into soundtrack work.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Loved it.
What did you think, Janelle?
I loved it. I did. I loved both of your picks. Because it,
well, I will tell you this. I think this was half joking, but she called me up and she said, "You and your goddamn church music."
There's definitely a gospel feel to that.
Oh yeah, very much a gospel feel. And that actually is a song from a movie called The Plague Dogs, and I will tell you, it's one of the saddest things you've ever seen. It's a devastating film. And that's the end
the
credits.
The Plague Dogs?
The Plague Dogs. It's from the same people who gave you Watership Down.
Oh, my God.
And it's more depressing than Watership Down. Okay, that's all
God.
I have to say. So you know, I we had a conversation on Facebook, and I immediately went to this song, and generally when I play this song, I cry my fucking eyes out, which I did, and I sent it to her, because the one thing about that song I love is it's really for us, because when we go, we'll have a friend waiting for us, right? She'll be there, guaranteed. No,
God,
problem.
I hope so.
No hope. She'll be there. Because she's a part of us. That's why. And I
she was looking forward to seeing her mom and dad, you know, because they passed on. She was an only child. Mm-hmm. So I know she was really looking forward to seeing them, Dim Menace, Dave Gregg, Wimpy, a lot of people that have gone on before us.
Yeah, absolutely. And
the
our,
punk
our...
scene. Were you in the punk scene, Carl?
Well, okay, so basically more post-punk, because the East Coast was a little different. So I'll give you a background. So I graduated from high school in 75. And from 75 to 79, I was in college. And during most of that time, I was the program director at the college radio station. So we had various people. And of course, that's, you know, when punk, but this was in a very rural area. So we didn't get much punk, but we got one DJ who would do stuff and that sort of thing. But then I moved to New York in 1981. And at that point, New York, like I was right down the road from CBGB's. I was like three blocks away from CBGB's. And so it was more.
That was a tough neighborhood, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the East Village. Yeah. And then if you went further east, it was Alphabet City, which was basically post-World War II France. Seriously.
Yeah.
It was a tough neighborhood, and I love that area. So CBGB's and Dan Lynch's, and then what was the other one? ABC were the three clubs I went to. And CBGB's was basically at that point, it was where all the British people would come in. So this was Sex Pistols, but I saw Ian Dury there at least two or three times, and Ian is a big, big influence, and I love it.
Ian Dury, I remember that name.
I love his music. And so you'd see people like that, but I had a really varied taste in music. I mean, growing up, I was a huge Zappa fan. Jethro Tull, you know, I love things with classical influences because when I was growing up, you could only listen to classical or Broadway music. And so I found a way to piss off my folks because I've listened to 20th century classical and like fried them up the wall. But yeah, you know, I certainly, to me, punk isn't a style of music. Punk is an attitude. It's a fuck you attitude. So it doesn't matter what the musical style is, right? I mean, would you guys agree with that?
Yeah. Just like the Rex saying, punk is an attitude.
Right. Now,
yeah,
so people like... Go ahead, Robert. Go ahead.
I think it was bound to happen when you had the mainstream, you know, bands that were being produced by big producers back in the day, I guess. When did punk really start? In the late 60s, I guess? Kind of.
Yeah, the like 76, 77 to like 80.
Yeah.
Would be about the time,
yeah,
I would call punk.
Punk, I guess they call it. And then I think Jello Biafra was talking about it too in one of his spoken words about when he first saw the Ramones and how all he remembers was shitty music like Linda Ronstadt and Jackson Browne and which is,
yeah,
shitty to, but it, that was the mainstream music, and then someone like the Ramones comes along and just completely just turns the whole scene on its end, just blowing, you know, loud music, just blowing people away.
You know, there were always parts of the scene that even if you go back into the 60s and you talk about the garage bands, like the Sonics and that, or even a mainstream band like the Kinks, which I consider the Kinks proto-punk.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I do, too.
You know,
I do,
and
too.
Again, it's the attitude. It's the attitude. You know, and then you get into the experimental stuff in the 60s, like the Fugs. You know, and this was stuff
the
that I found. Yeah, the Fugs, man. Tully Cooperberg.
The Fugs.
Ed Sanders, man. Fucking love that.
CIA man.
Yep. Absolutely. You know, and I had an older brother, and but I also loved finding things that were off the beaten track. So I would always try different things. And when we first moved to Bradford, thank God there was this little head shop right down the street. And the guy's name was Jerry O'Wallaby. And Jerry introduced me to so many different people and bands. And then, of course, being at the radio station, too. And even things like, you know, Bob Marley and Jimmy Cliff and reggae and all these different types of music. Another person I loved, when I was in New York, one of my anthems that I lived by was Joe Jackson, Look Sharp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even now, Joe Jackson has a new album out called Fool. I think it came out last year, and he's still pissed off. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. He's still fucking pissed off, you know? But that's the wonderful thing about music and that, you know, even someone like some of the things that I played today, Loudon Wainwright, he's a punk. There's no question about it. He
definitely has that attitude.
Yeah. You know, and I think that's one of the things I also felt with Antonia is that she still had and lived by that sort of code. And I think it is a code, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, I mean, I spent a lot of time down in the D.C. area. I was working at a place called Music and Arts in Frederick. And one of the people that was working there had been in Bad Brains briefly, but they were in Bad Brains. And you know, the real hardcore stuff is not my cup of tea. You know, I mean, I was much more, I wanted musicality. I mean, that was just part of me. But it was always the attitude, though, for me. And that's what I loved. Another band I love is Gang of Four. Fucking love Gang of Four.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I got to see them in San Francisco.
Oh, damn. Damn, of course. What's his name just passed away not too long ago.
Who?
I did it before.
But
yeah,
that.
I never did get a chance to see them. Never got a chance
to see
them.
They were so good.
Oh, fuck yeah.
They played with... can't remember it. Never mind.
That's okay.
Communicator? Was it Communicator? I don't know. Okay, never mind.
Okay.
Translator. They played with Translator.
Oh, that might be it. Okay.
And I was on acid, yeah, too, so that didn't hurt. So
no,
when they came out and did I Love
mushrooms,
a Man in
though.
A Uniform, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep,
my favorite song
yeah.
by them.
Just a great band. Anyway,
but you know who has knowledge of Antonia's knowledge of music was intense. I mean, she was like a connoisseur of ska, punk, hard metal, thrash. She knew it all.
Yeah, she knew stuff I'd never even heard.
Oh, yeah.
She,
you had a question about something, she knew it.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, you know, part of that is being on the radio, too. Because, you know, the one thing about a radio station, man, you get new music all the time given to you because they're trying to get the music out and see what hits and what doesn't. And so, yeah, I just amazing amount of music that's out there and that she knew. I mean, she was an encyclopedia. Did you ever talk to her about music other than on the podcast, Robert?
A little bit, not too much. I mean, we didn't talk that much. We just chatted on Facebook a little bit. I was more concerned about her health, but we didn't talk too much, a little bit about our radio history and stuff like that.
Robert has a show. What was it, Santa Cruz? Is it Santa Cruz you're out of?
Yeah, Pirate Radio Station, Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yep.
For about 15
Excellent.
Years. Yeah, we started in 95. And it's kind of funny because I didn't get into punk till my late 20s, I want to say. I hated punk.
Mm-hmm.
I was like a metalhead and rock and roll, and you know, and until I met a friend of mine that was a drummer, and then he started taking me to some shows at like Al's Bar in Hollywood, and who's his band, you know, we'd watch this Mr. T Experience would play, and then L7 would play before they and then little by it just like blew me away. It's like it really takes a good friend to like show you those things. And then I immediately got locked into it just from the non-fakeness and the huge arena shows that I would go see and be so dislocated from the artists being on this, you know, 15-foot high stage, and here I'm down on the ground trying to look up to him, and then go to a punk show and I could like hang out with the dude after and have a beer. From then on I was solid into it. And then I moved out to Santa Cruz in the early 90s, and then hooked up with some activists here and through Food Not Bombs, and then we got a low power FM radio station and threw it on the air in defiance of federal communication. and started broadcasting. And it was a hell of an experience. We put the community on the air, like a full-on community radio station with no commercials and no, what do you call them, that the public stations have, underwriters or anything like that. It was just totally free radio. You could say whatever you want, and we had Spanish shows and homeless people on the air, and it was great. It was a really great experience. Wonderful time.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, yeah. It was good. They're still on the web at freakradio.org, but they don't have a studio. It's all online now. They don't have an FM broadcast anymore either. We did get raided once by the federal marshals back in when Bush was president. I think it was 2003. I can't remember exactly. But we end up coming back bigger and stronger than ever. We had Utah Phillips came out and did a benefit concert for us before. That was pretty much right before he died. I don't know if you're familiar with Utah Phillips.
No.
Heard the name.
Can't say I have.
Activist union singer. I don't know if you ever heard Moose Turd Pie on Dr. Demento. He'd play that a lot.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, he did that and some other, a lot of union type songs, like a folk singer.
Well, that was one good thing about the punk movement is that you couldn't find a label, no label, no problem. You start your own label. You're sick of the commercials and all the crap on FM radio, no problem. You just start your own station.
Yeah.
So that, punk is an attitude.
Yeah, well, one of the things I didn't mention was during my New York days, that was the, what they called the no-budget cinema. So, you know, it was Lydia Lunch, it was Richard Kern, it was Slava Zuckerman. And so I tried like a mofo to get into that crew, and I just wasn't able to do it, but I did get a chance to meet some of the people there. And it was the same attitude. It was, you know, we're going to do what we want to do, and we'll have the cinema, and we'll have the little stores and our little videos that we can sell on Avenue B and Fifth Street, you know, and you go there and it's, God, it was something back then. But yeah, I mean, it's all about the attitude. It's all about, okay, you don't want us to do this, we'll do it ourselves. It's a DIY attitude. Very
DIY,
much.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of that, how's this podcast done? I'm kind of curious. Are you doing it all through the phone, or do you have a studio?
Okay, well, we have we have Blog Talk. So Blog Talk is our studio, and it's an automated studio. So you call into it, and Doc is there on the studio side, which you get through the internet, and so, you know, you're able to do that. Now, one of the nice things is it's not set in stone yet, but these podcasts are actually, we have an internet radio group that's interested in us, and we have to do some technical work to get that done. But as soon as the technical work is done, and unfortunately with Doc, it's like they got him working so friggin' hard at his IT job. It's like, you know, my condolences, Doc, you're wonderful. I want you to know that.
Thanks,
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. So, anyway, at this point, why don't we say our thank yous to Antonia and a nice send off, and then I got a special song for all of us before we go. Okay.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Well, somebody's getting out something there. So Robert, what do you want to say about Antonio before we start wrapping this up here?
I kind of pretty much said what I wanted to say. She's a great example of a strong person, strong woman that just will always resound in my mind and my heart. Especially when I'm on my deathbed, I'm going to be thinking about her and how strong she was. And I hope I can get at least some of the peace that she had. And I'd like to try to work on that, getting that peace right now. And that's what inspired me to try to do that, you know, in my life. And not trying to change the world or be upset every time you turn on the news and pissed off, but just trying to control what's in front of you right now. And I think that's all that we can really do right now, especially in these times.
Absolutely.
She's a great inspiration to all that right now. And I'll always be thinking of her and of doing stuff like that. And I only known her for a couple of months, but she's you know, burned in my mind and in my heart.
Oh, thanks, Robert. She'd be so happy to hear that. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. If she is hearing it, you know, I'm sure she is. I'm sure she is. So, Janelle, what did you have to say?
And I'm thankful to hear your guys' experiences with her, too, as well. It's, just, you know, just solidifies how awesome she is.
Oh, absolutely.
I guess I just want to say that I miss her so much. I miss her voice. I miss laughing with her. I just miss her so much. I mean, I've known her since probably 82, you know. And we fell out of touch for 10 years. And then when we came back together, when I heard her on the radio on her show, or connected on Facebook or whatever we did, it was like we never left, you know.
Yeah.
One of those things. So, and she certainly did look to her death with anticipation and dignity and pretty fearless. And I hope I can do the same. And yes, definitely. I looked up to her. She may have been a lot younger than me, but she was my like punk rock girlfriend hero, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't download Punk Rock Girl by Dead Milkmen, but what we're going to do is we're going to do a playlist. And we're going to put all these songs. Janelle had some songs she wanted to play tonight. Unfortunately, with Doc's schedule, he was unable to get those downloaded. But I'm going to get a YouTube. And what you want to do is if you've got any songs, any remembrances, people listening to this, please just just make a comment on the links that you got here. Or you can PM me or PM Janelle or PM Robert. Just let us know in the next couple of days. But I hope by Sunday we'll have a playlist together, and I'll post that all over at Reno Hardcore Punk and Punk's Not Dead and the various groups out there, and her homepage too. As for me,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
For me, I think the main word, which Robert mentioned a couple times, is inspiration, because she had a spirit that she shared, and it's a shame she's not here to do that anymore.
Yeah.
So it's our job as those people that she gave that spirit to give it to other people and have her live on the way that we treat people and we love. Like you loved us. Now, What we're going to do is, Doc, we're going to end up with a song, but I want you guys to stick around for the song, and afterwards we'll all have something to say. But this is the song that we have to go out on. There's just no doubt, and I'm not even going to tell you what it is because you already know. Doc, you know what to do.
Yep, this is going to be loud, so just so you know.
Just as a clue, he was 12 years old. He fell from the roof on East 29. Kathy was 11 when she pulled the plug. 26 reds and a bottle of wine. Bobby got leukemia, 14 years old. He looked like 55 when he died. He was a friend of mine. Up in Manhattan, flying Vietnam, bullet in the head. Bobby OD'd on Drano on the night that he was wet. There were two more friends of mine, two more friends that died. From a cell in the tombs, Judy jumped in front of a subway train. Eddie got split in the jugular vein. And Eddie, I miss you more than all the others. We'll be right back.
Of course, we had to end with that song. What do you think, guys?
Of course.
Perfect.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to know, how do you die of Drano on your wedding night? How does that happen?
You drink
Drano.
It. You drink it.
That's punk enough. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, before we go, I just have a couple of bookkeeping things to say, and then I'm going to lead you into a chant here for a moment. So, first off, on Sunday, Deviant Legion, we have Danae's Dungeon, and Danae and I will be talking about Korean horror films. On Tuesday, we're going to do a combination of the ISF, Incredibly Strange Films, and Carl's Cavern, and we're going to have two gentlemen, John Kaufman and I can't think of the other gentleman's name, but we're going to be talking about the films Harold and Maude, Hal Ashby. We're going to be talking about the films of Hal Ashby. On Wednesday, we have a new show that's happening, and it's the Diva Hour, and that's with Mika Davis. And Mika has been a guest on my show a number of times, and she's now going to be a member of Deviant Legion. So that's what we have coming up. But here, I just, again, want to say, Antonia, we love you dearly. So I would like our guest, and Doc, I want you involved in this. Doc, are you there?
Yes, sorry about
that. Oh, Doc!
Hello.
There he is. I want you to join us in this, okay? So I'm going to say something, and I want you to yell it as loud as you can, then I'll say something else, and you yell as loud as you can, and then we'll all say goodnight, okay? So the first one is, Antonio, we love you. Everybody.
Antonio, we love
Antonio,
you.
Love you.
Okay. And the second one is, fuck death. Everybody. Fuck death.
Fuck death.
Fuck death. There we go.
I just scared my cat.
Mine is on my lap.
All right, people, thank you very much for joining us tonight as we celebrated the life and love and death of Antonia Onofro. Because I'll always love you forever and ever, my dear. And all of us will.
All yes. Right?
So I want to thank Robert for being on. I want Janelle, a real special thank you to you. And let's all say goodnight.
Okay. Right. Thanks for doing this, Carl. Thank you so much.
It puts an exclamation point. It's a type of closure. I knew that.
Yes. Yes. A little closure. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks
You're
for
welcome.
Having me on. Nice meeting y'all. And I'm going to sign out then.
All right. Good night, everyone. Thank you for listening. Good night, Robert. Thanks a lot for everything.
Good night, Carl. Have a good
night. Good night,
good night everybody.
Thanks, Doc.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
thanks, Doc.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Are we off?
Not yet, but we will be.